that we have made mention of. One of them is the following: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. That one of the signs of a believer is that when the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned to them, when people talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when people recite the Quran, when they listen to the Quran, and also one ayah, before I forget, we read the following, that وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. تُرْحَمُونَ means, of course, naturally, رَحَمْ, mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Quran is being recited, then you must keep quiet, you must listen, be quiet, and not make a noise while the Quran is being recited. Now, of course, when the Quran is being recited on a recording from the computer, etc., the rules of that is different. We understand that. But when a live reading is taking place, then as much as we can keep quiet, we should keep quiet. And as far as the recording is concerned, if it is in our control, we should try and stop it as best as we can while we continue our conversation. But of course, if the recording is playing and we talk, it's not a problem, but it is, some will say, khilaf adab. It is not very, very respectful of that which is being sounded off or that which we are hearing. And the Quran thereafter says, and keep quiet as best as you can, so that لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that mercy may come upon you. It doesn't say you must understand necessarily what is being read. Likewise, people and the ulama derive from this a given ayah, and I don't want to make this into a ikhtilaf type of situation, but they use this as proof. One of the ayah they use as proof from here is this one here, that when the imam is reading, you in the back must not read with the imam. So for example, when the imam reads Surah Fatiha and moves on, then there is no need for you to be reciting anything, but the Quran says, فَاسْتَمِعُوا وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Keep quiet and listen and absorb what is being said, rather than you now reading whatever the imam is reading, or reading with him, or reading something entirely different. And that is also not very good. But that's a different issue altogether. Those that do wish to read behind the imam, they have their own set of rules. But the Hanaf give preference of Quran over Hadith. In other words, the Hadith says you must read, the Quran says you must not. What do you give preference over? So the Hanafis, for example, say, no, we don't disregard that other Hadith. We do accept it, but however, we will give preference to the Quran, and give preference to the Quran in that we will not read while the Imam is reading. And then, of course, you get the third Imam. He says the following. He says, in Fajr Salah, Maghrib Salah, and Isha Salah, in the first two rakats of all these Salah, you in the back will not read anything. On the third, if there is a third rakat, and fourth rakat, if there is a fourth rakat, like for example, the case of Maghrib and Isha has four rakats, then in those last two rakats, because you cannot hear the Imam reading, then you will read in the back whatever you need to read, Surah Fatiha, etc. So what I'm saying here is the following. Many of us will say, why does he read? Why does he not read? Well, all this is derived, and there is a set of proofs that is gathered from the Quran regarding this given aspect. Anyway, another ayah that I read, as I read in the beginning, when believers hear the Quran, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their heart begins to tremor. Because these are the words of Allah, and they're giving it the necessary respect. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when the ayah are recited to that individual, then the iman begins to increase. When they hear the word Jahannam, they begin to think, may Allah save me from Jahannam. When they see and they think and they hear the word Jannah, they immediately say, may Allah take me towards Jannah. When they listen to simple words like Allah, or whatever those words may be, they let those words penetrate and absorb and soak into their bodies, and they try to make it a reality for themselves. So this is how, of course, their iman increases. And وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And it becomes very easy for them to have tawakkaltu ala Allah, because the Quran is now being drenched in them. They are accepting it, they are soaking it in the body. Naturally, when they soak it into the bodies, into the heart, into the mind, then iman becomes very easy for them. Not only becomes very easy for them to follow the
method of thinking, which is the good way, but also their tawakkal to Allah begins to increase. Their faith in Allah begins to increase. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمَا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And very well they understand the importance of not just establishing salah, but establishing salah in the proper manner, in the proper time, with the proper concentration. And they also realize it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that provides. See, people that have their heart shimmering because of the Quran, those that want the iman to increase with the words of Allah, those individuals that want a higher level of reliance of Allah, they are also able to establish salah in the proper manner, and they also realize whatever comes to us Allah and Allah alone. Then Allah SWT talks about, for example, a given battle that took place, and in this battle it is amazing. Imagine arrows are flying, people are dying, the Sahaba are tired. What do? They go near a tree and they fall asleep. They're tired. Right, now it's time for me to rest. Whatever happens, happens from Allah. Imagine, my brothers and sisters, you and I are living in a country of what we'll call democracy. Let's be realistic. We are very, very safe in this country compared to any other country. We can pretty much walk freely. We can pretty much drive freely. We can live in our Hawaii, we are over here. I'm not saying our houses are not monitored, etc. They may be monitored, maybe everything. But yet we can go, we can sleep, etc. in these houses. But guess what? Although we can say we can sleep properly in our houses, how many of us really had a full night of good sleep? How many of us went home and said, tonight was the night, today I really enjoyed? Men cannot say it, women cannot say it, even children cannot say it. I mean, many teachers are complaining. Students are going to class and they are falling asleep in the first period. Why? All night sitting on this technology, that technology, doing this, doing that. So the Quran is saying, yet they were Sahaba. They were in the thick of battle. But because they believed in Allah and they accepted Allah as Allah, things were happening around them, and they went, rested, got up, and did whatever else they had to do. And you and I, Allah has given us bedrooms upon bedrooms, and we know what we are going through in those houses. May Allah save us from that. May Allah SWT also make it easy for us in our houses, in our families. So what's the solution? The solution is, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Allah is saying, O iman wala, O you who believe in Allah, ati'u Allah, obey Allah wa rasulah, and obey His Prophet. That means follow them in the manner in which they call upon you to follow. Not more, not less. Just do that much, and Allah SWT will help you. And wala tatawallu anhu wa antum tasma'un, and do not turn away from them. In whatever matter, whilst you are in a state that Allah SWT has given you a hearing and the faculties of reasoning. Of course, then Allah SWT talks about maal ghanima, booty. That means wealth that is attained from war. According to the Quran, we learn the following. The most pure wealth that a Muslim can attain is the wealth that comes in defending what Allah wishes for them to defend. Now, just to make things clear, I'm not saying we must go in jihad on. That's not what we are advocating here. Let's talk about war from two perspectives. Western countries send people to war. Who goes to war? Generally the underprivileged, those that cannot get much higher education, or those that are not able to get higher education. And those that are able to get higher education, well, generally they are flying the planes and they are more safe. The minority groups and those that are poor in rank, they are giving their lives in the front. That's one aspect. When they come back to their countries, generally, I mean, you know, you see signs out there, Vietnam vet, this vet, Iraq vet, etc. Once they have defended the country and the oil companies get what they want, other companies get whatever they wish to get, as far as these people that defended, they don't get very much. It's the reality. Statistically, it's not something that I'm deceiving you about. Whereas when it comes to Islam, it says the following. If you have defended your country, then you are entitled to a certain amount of that resource. And that resource is the most pure resource you can get. And also, as far as prophets are concerned, they cannot take zakah, etc. But this wealth that they could attain, or that was attained from defending Islamic land and the Muslims themselves, they were entitled to gather a certain amount of it. Now, I'm not promoting one system over another. That's not what we are here to defend. But what we are trying to say is, Islam is fair, Allah is fair, and we as people that are living in America, when people go to defend this given land, then we have to defend them later on. I'm not making this a political discussion, whether they must now question whether they must go and fight or not. That's not the issue. But when you see people that are suffering, then we have to write letters to our governors, congressmen, etc., that so and so did something for your country. What are you giving that individual back? It's not an issue of defending America. I'm not defending America. At least try to give fair representation to an individual that is standing out in the corner of the street and asking for your wealth and asking for the wealth of other individuals. Of course, thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says the following, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَوْا فَتَفْشَلُوا تَتَفَرِيُّكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. That obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not fight, do not take part in unwanted dialogue, and practice aspects of patience. That means, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you make a claim of firmness, then that firmness requires and demands a certain type of behavior from yourself in relationship to Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the following, وَفَادِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرُ بْنُ اللَّهِ وَفَادِ النَّصَرُ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ اللَّهِ. Many of us think only that Christians believe in the Son of Allah. Allah says, no. They both are very different from you. The Yahuds are saying, Uzair is Son of Allah. And the Christians are saying, Isa alayhi salam is Son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they both are making a very grave and serious claim without any proof from their mouth. And this is something that is wrong. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. And of course, they are taking their leaders as their type of individuals that must be followed beyond that which is necessary. Allah says this in other places as well, that religious leaders have a position, and their position must not be trespassed, and your respect for them must also not go beyond that which is necessary. They are humans, you are humans, they will make mistakes, you will make mistakes, and together you must guide one another. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu inna kathiran min al-ahbari wal-ruhban la yaquluna ma'a an-nasi bil-batil. And as far as these leaders are concerned, the Christian leaders and the Jewish leaders are concerned, they are doing all this extra taxes, extra this, extra that. La yaquluna ma'a an-nas. All they are doing in the end is eating up your wealth. They want their churches to be fancy, have stained glasses, all these fancy things they want. You and I cannot live our life that way. Our masjids must look beautiful. What is the rule regarding the establishment of a masjid? Now, I know some people will say, this is israf, don't do this, don't do that. The ulama have come up with something very, very unique. They say the masjid that you have must represent the average of the wealth of the people over here. So, for example, if many of us have 3 and 4 bedrooms, you have 2 cars, you have a nice house, then for you to have a nice masjid, there is no problem. Yes, for you to build a $5 million masjid, when you're living in, for example, a rundown house that has no water, 5 people are sleeping in 1 bedroom, then that is considered trespassing the boundaries. This discussion came out, I believe it was in South Africa, when somebody built, it was a 5 or 10 million rand masjid. That means 1.5 million for that country is quite a lot. It was one of the state-of-the-art masjid. And people started complaining. And you know, students, because they are very simple, in school they learn 1-2 things, mustn't have very soft carpet, mustn't have very fancy wall. So they started writing to the iftar department, look at such and such masjid, it's very, very fancy. The mufti said, go easy. Let us examine what is the average value of the house in that area. And they found that the houses in the area were 5 million, 10 million rands. Then the scholars said, these people are very stingy, they're very selfish. You have 5 million rand houses and you're only building a 5 million rand masjid, 10 million rand masjid. That means they try to pass a message. The house that you have and the luxury you live in must correspond with also the masjid that you have. However, we cannot trespass the boundaries of that masjid by putting a lot of gold, fancy things everywhere, fancy chandeliers in every corner, etc., etc. So this idea of wealth generating for masjid has a meaning, and there is much more to it that needs to be addressed as well. suffice to say are the following, that many of these Christians and Jews, etc., etc., they are taking all the money and they are using it in a wrongful manner, and they are stopping people from going towards the one Allah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, while me and you will say regarding them that they are stopping people from Allah and going to the house of Allah, it is very sad. In America, even in Utah, there are certain masjids that will say, so and so cannot come to our masjid. And to do that in the month of Ramadan is the height of insidiousness. So while we are saying the Jews and Christians are stopping people from the masjid, unfortunately, people in our environment are also doing this. I'm not saying everyone is perfect. I'm not saying all groups are perfect. But for us to stop people from the house of Allah or tell people, leave the house of Allah because of this reason, that is something that is very sad. Allah is saying, go to the masjid. Allah is saying, invite people to the masjid. Rather, what people are doing is the very opposite. And what does the Quran say? Al-Munafiqoon, as far as munafiqs are concerned, they are friends unto one another. As the brother said, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمُنْكَرِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمَعَرُوفِ. What do munafiqs do? They do the following. They command that which is evil, and also at the same time, they prevent that which is good. And I'll end off with one last point. I may not be able to do good, but why must I stop you? You may not be able to do good. The least you can do is wish the other individual well. So let's not become hypocrites. Let us become good individuals. Let us become the best of people. And one way we can become the best of people is do good and help others do good. And if we cannot do good, the least we can do is make dua that others continue doing good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. If you can please give 5 minutes, inshallah, in cleaning up whatever little you can, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, especially with the rayyan, inshallah, Allah will reward you greatly.